Are you ready to turn your dream of self-employment into reality? Then you absolutely need to tune into my podcast, Lunch Break Stories. I'm Julia Oswald, and in 2019, I launched this podcast to inspire and encourage women to start their own businesses. In Lunch Break Stories, I follow in the footsteps of remarkable women who have successfully taken the leap into self-employment. After more than 4 years of inspiring interviews, personal experiences, and valuable lessons, I've now fully embraced my roles as a host, speaker, and podcaster. And the best part? I absolutely love it. Perhaps you've had the same doubts that I had before starting, like, am I even qualified enough? Or what will others think of me? If that sounds familiar, then this is the place for you. Let yourself be inspired and encouraged by the stories of these courageous women. By the way, this year I secured second place at the Ö3 Podcast Awards in Austria and have hosted many well-known women on my show. So what are you waiting for? Tune in to Lunch Break Stories and let's stumble down new paths together rather than staying stuck on the old ones. By the way, today is a first. This is my very first podcast episode in English. Those of you who have been listening to the podcast for a while might be wondering why I'm speaking English today. Well, it's because of my guest, Maggie Medrichova. Maggie is from the Czech Republic, and since I don't speak Czech, we just heard that. Sorry for butchering your name there, Maggie. We agreed to do the interview in English. A little bit more about Maggie. In 2021, she co-founded the award-winning startup RoboTwin, focused on motion-imitating robotics. RoboTwin develops smart robot teaching tools that allow workers to directly teach robots without programming, fast and in a flexible way. It helps to automate even there where it was impossible before through the no-code robotic solution. RoboTwin's long-term goal is to bring innovation into manufacturing to close the gap between the state-of-the-art technology and industrial reality. We had such a great time during this interview. Maggie, thank you so much for this interview. We tackled lots of interesting questions like, what is it like as a woman in tech? And what is the future of automation and robotics? And so much more. So without much further ado, welcome to episode 88 with Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. I'm so excited to have you on my podcast today. Welcome to Lunch Break Stories. And before we dive on in, maybe you can kind of paint the landscape of where you're at in business, maybe briefly introduce yourself, what you do, and maybe also a bit about your personal and professional background.
Sure. First of all, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm super happy to be here today. I'll start with the introduction. So my name is Maggie. I'm co-founder and currently trying to lead technical development in a startup, which is called RoboTwin. And we are focused on robotics and automation. So very, very technical topics. I've been into this tech and robotics for about 10 years already. Studied mechanical engineering, then went into mechatronics, which is like combination of that plus some IT software stuff and so on. And then it happened that like three years ago, we founded the company, which is basically like occupying my whole professional and most of the personal life as well as of today.
Very cool. Can you maybe share your journey from graduating CTU in Prague to co-founding RoboTwin? What were the key milestones? And yeah, just a little bit about your journey into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, well, it was not very straight, I must say. Even like joining the technical university was not a very straightforward option for me. So I basically studied like a general high school, where at the end, I, as most of the graduates of high school, I didn't know what I want to do. I didn't know what I should do, what I'm good at. And eventually it somehow happened that I joined the technical university here in Prague, where I was born, where I live. And I like immediately found out it's like perfect for me. I really liked that. There was so many opportunities to do cool stuff, to learn cool stuff. I really found myself in it. And throughout the studies, I was quite lucky to spend also some time abroad, which I now, when I look back at it, I think it was one of the key milestones or like key events in my career, because there I got a different perspective on things, right? Like I met different people with a different mindset, maybe more oriented towards entrepreneurship or even towards innovation or like thinking out of the box. And with that experience, I then went back to finish my master's. And then another kind of unexpected thing was I changed the topic of my master thesis like very, very last time. I was supposed to do something in a corporate. I went there for the summer internship. I really didn't like it. And then I was like, no, that's not going to be the topic of my thesis for another year. I need something else. And then I was lucky to find this industrial challenge that happened to be the topic of my thesis and eventually the topic of the product in RobotWin. So the solution that I drafted for the thesis was basically the baseline for the products and for the innovation that we are developing right now in RobotWin.
Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about RobotWin so that the listeners and I get an idea of what it is that you do on a day-to-day basis? And also, like, I mean, this is such a maybe difficult topic for many people, like thinking about like automation, innovation, robotics. So for anyone who is not so familiar with this, maybe you can explain it like you would explain it to a 2-year-old.
Okay. I'll try. Automation and robotics. That's the topic. Automation and robotics is not that super new, right? So automation and robots, you can find them in factories, in manufacturing, in the different industry. It's quite a common thing. But unfortunately, what is also a common thing in the industry is a lot of manual work. So it might be shocking, it was for me indeed, but it might be shocking for many people that even today in the 21st century, there is still a lot of manual production happening. Even in the very digitalized and modern factories, you still find processes that are done by people. These processes are usually those either very challenging, like very demanding, or very creative. So processes where you need like a lot of know-how, which is difficult to transfer from human brains into robots. And that's basically the reason why you cannot automate everything, why you cannot automate everything easily, and why companies like manufacturers are struggling with automation at many, many occasions. Yeah, and then basically what RobotWin is trying to do is trying to solve this challenge of like having processes difficult to automate with the classical means of automation. Like you buy a robot, you write a program for the robot, and the robot is then repeating the program ever over and over again, and the automation runs nicely. And how we are trying to overcome this challenge that you cannot easily automate all of the processes is that we put the humans, the workers, the creative people, the people with the know-how into the center of automation. And we let them to become robot teachers instead of programming some static code or static program for the robot. We do it by simply allowing them to show the movement they want the robot to do. We record the movement with the help of some sensors and electronics. And then we automatically process the data that we record, and the result is a generated robot program. So if I sum it up in easy sentence, you don't need to be a programmer. You can have a very, very no code, very, very intuitive way how to teach a robot to do exactly what you want it to do.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Okay, even I understood this, so perfect. Thanks for explaining this. Can you explain maybe some of the challenges you faced while developing like machine learning and algorithms for robotic tasks? Like, what is it like? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, you basically touched that a little with the previous question. Like, the challenge is that you are trying to solve a very, very complex problem, which in the eyes or in minds of multiple people, like normal people, actually seems like a very simple thing. Right, so I want my robot to do this, I can do it myself. So why couldn't the robot do exactly the same? It sounds simple, but in fact, it's very, very complex because a robot is a machine. It has motors, controls, whatever. It's a complex thing. So on the one hand, it's like a paradox, right? So on one hand, it looks very simple, but indeed it's super, super complex to achieve the solution. And in the same time, like this complex and simple task in the same time you are trying to solve by some technology or some method, which is also super, super complex, but you try to make it look and work simply so that people can use it and it's not super complicated and it's not difficult to adopt. So I think that this paradox is something that really like demonstrate the challenge of implementing innovations, implementing technology, implementing robotics into the industry, because you are trying to achieve something which is very, very simply looking. And you need to make the solution simple so that people are able to use it. But it's very complex and very complicated in the background.
Okay, well, thanks. Now we have a little bit of the background story and we can imagine like what it's a little bit like and what you're doing on a daily basis. You touched on that you've worked and studied on like very different places all over the world, actually. I think it was Munich and Singapore. So I'm very curious to know, how would you compare the startup culture maybe in Prague or in Czech to other places you've worked in, like Munich or maybe also Singapore? Are there differences? I mean, I would assume there are also some not just cultural differences you've noticed in the tech industry between various countries, but how do these affect maybe also innovation and collaboration?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally different worlds. Like, you don't need to travel that far as Singapore to meet people with different mindset. So like Munich was really like, that was something that changed my mind quite a lot. Like, it opened my eyes in the sense that like, thinking about having a startup and like developing your own project, like your own idea on your own here in Prague at the university where I graduated, was something super, super weird. So like, it was not super something fancy. It was really weird. Like, people look at you like, are you really sure you want to do that? Like, I don't know, not the best idea. Like, don't you better want a steady job or something like more, organized or like more something what fits more the expectations, right? And then I went to Munich and it's like, no, like everyone at the university is like founding a startup and they have a startup and then after a year they close it and they open another one. I mean, I'm not saying it's the correct way how to do it. I'm just saying that being in an environment where people have such mindset also impacts your mindset, and it impacts on like how you think about your future, how you choose your path, what you find possible, feasible, what you find like totally crazy, and eventually like what motivates you to go on. So like, yeah, absolutely different. Like, Prague is very conservative in that sense still. Like, the university where I graduated is like a really good one, but one of the more conservative, like more focused on research, more focused on publications and papers, less focused on transfer of technology into the industry. And that's why probably I was also struggling quite a lot before I eventually decided to do that, like to not to become a researcher, but rather become an entrepreneur. And I think that without the experience from abroad, I wouldn't be able to do that, because it's at the end, it's about about the mindset.
Another big topic I would like to talk with you about is like women in tech. As a woman in tech, what has been your experience navigating this, I would say, still very male dominated field?
Yeah, I really like this question. Like, I'm getting this question through the whole time I've been in this like tech industry, which is like almost 10 years already, and I still didn't really find my answer to that. But I think it comes with like learning more about the situation, but also like learning more about myself being in it, like trying to understand better and better the principles behind it. So, like, long story short, it's just fine. Like, I mean, it's challenging as like anything else. What you would choose for your career or like for your path. What I think can sum up how it might be more challenging than other different things I could have chosen for my path is that it's still so exceptional, right? So you are still kind of a minority. And your experience is still quite unique and difficult to relate to other people's experience. And the experience and how different it is also, like, also comes together with expectations you or other people have from you in the context of your job or career. And I think that this is what is difficult. This is maybe what is more difficult than if I would do something standard, let's say. Because at the end, like, we all are kind of living up to someone's expectations or like our own expectations. And when you are doing something weird, as I'm probably doing, like something where you don't really have a lot of role models or like a lot of people around you who would go the same path before you, you don't know what is the norm. And you don't know what is the expectations, and you don't know how you should build your own expectations from that. So it brings a lot of uncertainty, and it brings a lot of rethinking and doubting into your daily reality. Like, am I doing the right thing? Should I do it differently? Was it too much? Was it too little? Like, did I fit the scope or I didn't? And like, also very often you have these situations like, okay, so if I do it this way, they would think that I'm like too weak because I'm a girl. If I do it that way, they would think that like I'm too, like, I don't know, too bitchy, because it's like, it's not normal behavior for a girl to be like that much directive and like be very certain about what and how we should do. So it's very, very difficult to fill up expectations, because the expectations in the same time are very, very uncertain and unclear.
Wow, yeah. I mean, you already said like women are still a minority in the tech field. What do you think are the main barriers preventing more women from entering and also thriving in tech industries?
Well, if we would agree on what the barriers are, I think it would be great, because we could just take them down and the problem would be gone. hard to say. Like, what I think one reason definitely can be that it's just not visible, it's not present in your daily surrounding, it's not here in your environment where you grew up, where you study. This possibility, this option that you could become an engineer or study math or science, is just not in the pool of options for you. It's just not presented to you. Yeah, and like, actually, like, it was the same story for me. Like, I decided somehow like more by my intuition that I wanna study science, and then I found out it's super cool. I didn't know it before because it was not presented to me. Like, it was like just hidden somewhere. I needed to dig deep into like the web page of the university, like trying to understand what it is actually about. But like, first when I joined the first semester, I found out what it is actually about, and that it's a lot of fun. And like, I see absolutely no reason why more girls or women couldn't enjoy it. It's just like studying as, I don't know. It's just studying. Like, it presents you some challenges you can solve if you learn the right tools and methods. It's not very different from anything else. So I would say, let's start with like being more visible, like presenting it more to the normal society, to the public spaces, presenting it more at high schools, and just please like stop pretending that it's something meant for boys, and try to be more inclusive and like really show it as a great option for everyone.
Oh, that's really great. I think that's something we should implement more in schools, and also role models like yourself, Maggie. Now you're on the podcast, and I mean, also you did other podcasts and you're more visible. And I think this can also, like, if girls can see, like, if she can do it, I can do it, that would help a lot more. But yeah, I think I totally agree on the things you just said.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one good thing coming out of me having a robotic startup, and it's that more girls are joining tech and science, then I'm already happy.
Oh, that's great. How do initiatives like Women Tech EU contribute to supporting women in technology, and what more can be done to improve gender equality in this field, and how have you maybe also benefited from this? Maybe you can also explain a little bit about Women Tech EU.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do so. So Women Tech EU is one of the initiatives that has like huge impact on bringing more equality and equity to like women versus men in tech and entrepreneurship and innovations as well. So Women Tech EU is an initiative which is kind of an open call for anyone who has a great idea or a great product, focused on technology, focused on manufacturing, focused on deep tech, and who needs funding and support to develop the product or the project further. It's exclusively made for startups or teams that are founded or co-founded by women. So we were lucky that we could apply, and it helped us a lot, obviously. It helped us a lot. One thing where it helps is definitely the funding and the money itself, because at the point where you are trying to develop your own project or product further, you have a plan, you know what you need to do, you know you need resources to do that, you need time to do that. Time eventually means also money. So when someone is willing to support you in that sense, it's just perfect. But another one thing which is super great about these initiatives is that it changes the mindset and the norm you see around you, right? So it's like a sign what you are doing is good. We are happy that you are doing that because we need it. It fits to the strategical path we want Europe or our nation, doesn't matter, like this is a European project. So it fits to the strategy we want Europe to follow, and we are happy that you are doing that. And it's a perfect, like this message is something what you need to hear, what you are happy to hear, because many other times you are getting the opposite messages. Cool. Like, are you really sure you are doing that right? Like, is it where you want to be? Like, is it like, how are you sure that like you can make it, right? So yes, like financial support, perfect. But also like the mental support, or like the signal that it sends, I think it's very, very important. And it's not the first program that we benefited from. And I think it goes back to the topic of the mindset and to the topic of bringing entrepreneurship more into the norm or into the daily life of students, graduates. Like how RobotWin started was actually through another very similar program. It's called Jumpstarter. It's organized by EIT. EIT is one of the members of Consortia who is also promoting the Women Tech EU currently. So it's like closing the circle a little. And this program was like super, super cool for us because, as I said before, like the topic of RobotWin was topic of my master thesis. And after I graduated, I had the thesis done, and then I was like standing there and waiting for someone to come and pick it up and like finish it, right? Like to bring it to the industry. And I was like standing there and like looking, and no one was coming. Surprise, right? So, and then I found out, okay, maybe it's like, maybe it's me, right? Maybe it's me who is like the one who will take it the next step further. And to be able to take it the next step further and to actually develop a product out of it, I need to learn a lot of more things because I'm a tech person. I'm not a business man, right? and then this is exactly the point where you need to reach out to such programs from EIT or EIC or any national initiative in the country where you are from, because these programs can give you like a crash course on, I don't know, how to write a business plan, how to make a pitch presentation, how to draft the roadmap for development of your product. And we were lucky to join one of these programs at the beginning. And basically first after this program, we decided, okay, it's fine. We can found a company. Like we have the basics we need to start with that. And then Women Tech EU was like one of the building stones on the path, which is still not finished. So it contributed heavily, and I would just recommend to like anyone else who is on a similar journey as we were to consider that for sure.
That's very cool and very important to have programs like this. Let's talk about a little bit about the future of robotics and automation. What are some of the most exciting advancements in robotics and machine learning that you foresee in the next, I don't know, 5 years is maybe even too long, in the next 2 years maybe?
Yeah, well, what I'm really looking forward to see in the industry, I don't know, it's going to be 2, 5, or 50 years. It's something what is being called, or like what is called, large behavior models. So basically, everyone knows ChatGPT, right? So it's something built on large language models. So basically, you can talk to it and it talks back to you. It understands what you said and it can give you quite a nice answer which fits to what you've asked and so on. So it's basically all built around languages, around talking. And now, like, imagine you would have the same thing, but for behaviors, like way more complex thing than just talking, but like really doing something, like doing some action. And that would be super cool, because then something what we do today wouldn't be needed anymore. Like, you wouldn't need robot when you wouldn't need to demonstrate a movement to teach the robot to do that. You would just like show the robot the action you have in your manufacturing place, in your factory, and you would show it to the robot and say, I'm doing this, can you please do the same? And the robot would be, yeah, cool, and then start doing it with the understanding of like what is the action about, like with the understanding of why we do it, what is important about it, what is not important, and so on. So that would be pretty cool. not knowing when that happens, but actually, yeah, like there is research, there is development towards that. So I think that such innovations as everyone got familiar with through ChatGPT are coming to robotics as well, with a little delay, but it's gonna be there as well. I believe so.
Okay, wow, very cool. And how do you envision Robot Twin evolving in the next decade? And what are your long-term goals for the company?
Like, we are actually three co-founders, me and two other friends of mine. And already at the beginning, like what we said is our vision is closing the gap. So I'll explain what I mean by that. I was talking about it at the beginning, right? So state of the art of the technology is very, 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 very far. It's very, very advanced. Like, you have ChatGPT, but you have like other different technologies which are super, super cool. And it looks like anything is possible. However, if you go out and you visit factories, you go and watch like the real industry, how the reality of the industry looks like, it's still quite old-fashioned. So what we've noticed, there is really big gap between the state of the art of the industry, of the technology, and the reality of the industry. And what our vision is closing this gap. So we don't want to do any fancy research topics. We rather want to bring the innovations there where they are needed. And it started with RobotWin, with the no-code robot learning, robot teaching. But I'm sure that it's going to continue with another cool stuff that that we will be able to bring to the industry in order to help to like modernize a little the way how it works. Because also what is driving us is not the technology itself, but it's the pain and the need that we see in the industry when we go out and visit the factories and talk to the people. So I wish, and I believe it will be like that, that RobotWin will be like bringing innovations to the industry to help to solve another needs and another pains of people working and living there.
Very cool. So we're coming already almost to the end of our podcast session, but I still have a couple more questions for you. One would be, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs, especially those looking to innovate in the tech and robotics fields? And maybe also with a focus on women.
Oh, okay. With the focus on women.
No, but you can say it in general. But
No, but actually the advice would be the same. Doesn't really matter who the person would be I would be giving the advice to. I think the most important is to go out and like let yourself be inspired by the pains and the needs of the industry. So if you want to become a researcher, fine, you can find a very, very cool topic and just work on it for your whole life. And I'm sure that the results will be super important for the research community and will advance the state of the art of the technology again. However, if you want to be an entrepreneur, I would really recommend it to do it the other way around, like to go out, visit the people who are having the needs, talk to them, try to watch how they work, try to understand what they need and start from there. Because then, like, this is the only way how you can spare yourself a lot of time and effort developing something what no one wants. This is the only way how you can actually develop something what people are willing to pay for, willing to use, and people are happy to have.
So very hands-on mentality and no ivory tower approach. Yeah.
I mean, it's not always easy. It's not always like, it's probably not what most people would like to hear, but it is how it is. Like, I mean, I'm spending like half of my time in front of my computer and second half of my time in some like super dirty and super noisy factory manufacturing place. Yeah, but that's how it is. Like that's where you learn. So definitely.
Very cool. How do you balance the demands of being a startup founder with your personal life and well-being? Do you even have time for yourself? You already said before, like most of your time, personal and of course professionally, is spent or yeah, you just work around for the startup. But what do you do to, I don't know, just something for yourself where you're like, okay, then I can keep going. If I do this, like I can keep going.
Another tricky question. No, I mean, it's not that very different from, I think like being an entrepreneur, having a startup is not that very different from another difficult or demanding situation people are having in their lives or careers. It's just how it is. Like in your life, there are episodes of very like rough times, very demanding times. It usually comes and goes. So I'm currently in such episodes. What I believe is important to be honest to yourself, like to be honest, to be able to recognize it and to say, okay, like now it's demanding. It's taking a lot of my time. Do I still want it? Do I still enjoy it? Fine. I don't enjoy it. Okay. Let's change something. Because, you know, like when you trap yourself in the situation, like trying to blame someone or something for like not feeling well or like not feeling happy with that, it doesn't take you anywhere, because at the end, like it's your decision to do what you are doing. And like when it's having your own startup, it's like 100% just your decision, right? So like what I found is like the way that works for me is really like to stay honest to myself and say, this is what you've chosen. Fine, like you can complain for a while, but don't get stuck by that, because it doesn't lead anywhere. Just like be honest with yourself, try to look at the situation as it is, try to like understand how it feels for you, if you still want to do it or not, and then keep doing, because eventually you find out, yeah, it's demanding, but it's still pretty cool. So yeah, I wanna stay in that for a little longer, because it's still worth it.
Okay, now we're coming to my closing questions. These are questions that I ask all my interviewees. And the first question would be, who or what inspires you?
Nice question. Like to be able to give like the right answer that fits to how I feel it. I need to come back to what I've said before. Like what I'm doing is quite like on the edge, like you don't find that many people like doing similar stuff what I do, so there is not that many role models you could look at. So what I found works for me in my life is to get inspired by real people and like real experiences of real people around me. Doesn't necessarily need to be someone like doing exactly the same what I'm doing, doesn't need to be someone following a similar path, but it needs to be a real person so that I can relate to their experience and learn something from it. Maybe it's my like very personal way of looking at things, but I have difficulties to relate to like influencers or role models or whoever. Like I need the complexity of that person. Like I need to trust that person to be able to like get inspired. So like people I really like to reach out to are like my friends or my family, or even like people from the previous jobs or like previous teams where I worked at. It's that is what I really like, because when they give you advice or like their opinion on something, you know how to understand it, because you know the complexity of them and you can relate. So I definitely prefer to get inspired by like real people who are around me.
Very cool. So the podcast is called Lunch Break Stories. So of course, one of my questions is, with whom, living or deceased, would you like to spend a lunch break?
Yeah, I love that question. It's great. So I'm a big fan of like really having a lunch break just like for fun, like not talking about work related stuff. And in the same time, I'm a really big fan of like random facts. You know, like I like to just learn something super, super crazy, which is like bizarre. You don't need it for your life, but it's something like cool and inspiring. And that brings me to the answer. Like I would like to spend lunch break with producers of my favorite podcast, which is called Radiolab, because these people are just like encyclopedia, like they are just like full of crazy stories that are like super bizarre, super random, but super, super fun to listen to. So I believe that these people would be just like a perfect company for a very, very inspiring lunch break.
So the Radiolab, it's called, right?
I can recommend.
I need to check it out. Almost the last question. What are three things you are loving at the moment? It can be anything. It can be from trivial to profound. It can be a book recommendation. It can be a favorite product. It can be a useful app. It can be, I don't know, walking in the forest, anything.
I feel the strong pressure to say it's my job. No, but like my relationship to my job is like love and hate relationship, right? So like yeah, I can say like at this moment I'm loving it. But yeah, let's go into something more like personal. I have one old thing which just like sticks to me throughout almost my whole life, and that's music and piano playing. So like I really found out this is like the only thing in my life where I can really like shut down my brain, and it like it's playing piano really occupies like everything in my mind, and I can really spend some time like not thinking about anything else. So that's an old habit which I still love to like pick up when I have time. And from the recent things, I've just recently discovered road cycling, and it's so much fun. I really like it. So it's now happening to be like my new favorite sport, kind of.
Ah, cool. Very cool. Well, hey, how can our listeners learn more about Robert Twin and stay updated on your latest project? Where can we find you?
Yeah, so we are focused on manufacturing, right? So we have old-fashioned channels to reach out people. So we are obviously on the website, so robotwin.cz. You can find everything about us and our product. And if you wanna check like more updated or like recent info about us, then it's LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is our platform. You can find our company there either through my profile or through the company profile. Every conference or industrial fair or event where we participate, you can find an invitation there. And yeah, I mean, I'll be happy to get connected to anyone who is interested in robotics or automation, even if there are maybe listeners trying to, I don't know, pursue a career in science. I'm always happy to have a chat.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this inspiring interview. Thank you so much for your time. It was great having you on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation. It was really nice. I'm happy that I could be here with you today.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and Maggie, thank you so much for the interview. As Maggie mentioned before, there are many opportunities out there for women founders like the Women Tech EU program for deep tech startups. The second call for applications is now open and you can apply for a chance to receive up to 75,000 euros in non-dilutive finance and business support services. Visit the Women Tech EU website for more details and take your startup to the next level. And of course, I've linked the website in the show notes like I always do. And I think, well, that's just my personal opinion, but I think it's vital, it's crucial, it's absolutely necessary to get as many women as possible into the tech field because they are shaping our future. And I think in order to get equality, you need to have a really diverse team. So it's important to get women into the tech field. Let's see how we can make that happen. And if you have an interest in tech, if you have an interest in math, then go for it. I really, really want to encourage you. Okay, so that was the first English episode for Lunch Break Stories. Let's see if it's going to be the last one or if there will be a couple more in the future. Let me know if you would be interested in having more international guests on the show, if you are also willing to listen to my English. Thanks for bearing with me during this episode. But let me know and give me some feedback. You can write an email and let me know what you think. The next episode is launching next week on the 5th of September and I promise it's going to be in German again. Hope you have a lovely week and you got some ideas and inspiration today from Maggie's interview. Lots of love. See you soon. Bye.